to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Well, don't pay extension tax. After tomorrow, she's Jay-Z. Not Jay-Z. A.V. on the board. Angelica Vasenko. How's that? Do I get it right?
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
And she's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go 3 days as Matt Weber's out in San Francisco. 5 o'clock to the airport this morning, Mr. Matt. So A.V. is taking over and doing a good job. SP Futures down 850, NASDAQ Futures down 2375. A little bit of a pause after the big rally yesterday. Dow Futures down 69. Do we have Kevin?
No, not yet.
We'll call him in a sec. So we're always usually late when Maddie's here, so when with you we're on time. So that's why would he call in on time? Because we're never on time with Mr. Weber. So anyway, we have the Bank of America posts a higher than expected profit. Retail operations, expense decline. Talk about the stock trading up 47 cents to 30.20, but it was up like 60 cents yesterday. So I was almost going to put a earnings spread onto the downside, thinking that it had already ran because J.P. Morgan and Citigroup were yesterday and were already up. I mean, on Goldman Sachs, when we were doing the show, was down like 690 and ended up up on the day, which is kind of bizarre. But I mean, we're in one of these situations where the Fed is pouring money in, and for the last 8 years, 9 years now, we've done 10 years is when the Fed. If you take a sketch, if you could find a way to somehow superimpose Fed actions, an expansion and contraction of the money supply above and below what I would consider to be a normal rate that they should do all the time, but they obviously are not listening to me. It's very political. It's something different. When they go above it for a while, the stock market goes up, and then they figure they're going too fast, they pull back, the stock market crashes. Or not crashes, but has gone. We've had a lot of downturns in the last, really, 25 years, and if you were to chart the Fed movements before and after every one of the big run-ups and every one of the big downturns, you'll find the Fed is, I'll use the term, at fault. And I absolutely will go to my grave wondering what in God's name they're doing. And why they're doing it that way, and you know, how political it is, and we're supposed to be independent, but they're not independent. I mean, this guy just gave Trump the road into the White House. I mean, he was just intimidated to do it. I don't have a problem with that. Trump wins, he wins. But I have a real problem with these guys getting involved. When you have a president and a party and everybody on TV and everybody in the world doing nothing but telling you how good the world is and how the best labor market ever and everybody's doing great, and all of a sudden you've got problems in the overnight money system, even though the money supply has been going up 7-8% a year, which is absurd when you're growing two. All of a sudden they have to go out and start pouring $60 billion a month into the place to keep it afloat. I mean, something is either seriously wrong, or the asset holders, and I say this a lot, the asset holders are in control of this country, and they don't care about the other 75-80%. And as long as they sell at the top 2 or 3 years from now, or whenever the top's going to be, it'll just be an odd situation. But the rest of us, as usual, we'll have to put up with it. But there's absolutely no reason for them to be putting that kind of money into the system at this point. Or if there is, and they're not telling us, if there's two or three banks that are, but I don't see how banks, in the last couple of days, I mean, it's very difficult for me, even though I may be accused of other, like to be a glass full kind of guy. I mean, XLE had a big day yesterday, which is the banking index. The drug companies had a huge day. I mean, the medical communities. We got Kevin? Kevin, you with
us?
We
do.
How are you, bud? You're so used to calling in late when Matt Weber's here that when AV is here, we're actually on time.
Usually, you know, the expression is correlation does not mean causation, but I'm getting suspicious.
Well, let's just say every morning I go out on normal time and I pull a truck out of the alley, in the alley, and I'm sitting there waiting, and I'm usually there at 6 or 5:30, and usually exactly at 5:41. I see the light coming down on the steps, and Maddie Weber trundles out. AV, on the other hand, even though I have to go get her further up north, she's there waiting for me, so we get here earlier, even though it's further away. Just saying.
All right. So Matt's fired, and Angelica's in.
Ah, we can't fire Matt. He's too good.
Okay. All right. He's off the hook.
We can't fire Matt. He's part of the fabric, for God's sake. Besides, he knows more about sports than anybody. And I like him, so. And he has the nicest fiancé that ever walked, and they live in the building.
Okay, so he gets off the hook by merits of his significant other.
Right, and the dog. I like Venkman, too, the pooch. You know, I'm not so sure Venkman likes me, but I like him. He's such a...
So we seem to be justifying Matt. Poor Matt, he's not here to defend himself,
which is
probably the best reason to pile on.
Well, absolutely.
We're defending him by everybody around him. And you know what? The people around you speak well.
That's exactly right.
You know, that tells you a lot about people.
That's exactly right. And he is off on a business trip, and Jill, the fiancé, significant other, just got a new job, and she loves it. The old job, Jill is one of these people that absolutely has to be working. She loves to work with a solid team where they all work together, with very little politics, and she just likes to work her behind off all day long and get shit done. And the last place was kind of not like that. Now the new place she's in, she loves it because she likes her group. They're making progress, and she's not afraid of work. She's kind of one of those old kind of people. You know, just want to go to work, and every day I can say I accomplished something when I go home. You know, and it's kind of hard to get that now sometimes.
Well, it is. It can be, anyway. There are places that are fantastic places to work, and it's really interesting as I deal with employers. It's quite interesting to see what really matters to them. Some of them aren't so introspective, but some of them really are. You know, will just outright say, "Is yeah, Kevin, if you can produce people with skills, that's great. But we can teach a lot of skills. Can you get me someone who is reliable, shows up on time every day, who is curious, interested, engaged, able to solve problems, able to work in teams, able to deal with a diverse workforce, you know, all of those things. That's, you know, and that's what they, you know, is really getting a premium. Now, there's other places where they're not very well managed and they're not very well led, and those are the ones where I have people say, yeah, it's so hard to keep employees, they always just want to leave me for the next 25 cents an hour. And in those cases I say, okay, let's do some math. They work for you 40 hours, they get 25 cents an hour extra. They do the math, $10.
Yeah.
So less taxes leaves to about $7. So you're telling me they really, really love working for you, but they're leaving you for an extra pack of smokes in a week.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, obviously. I mean, some guys...
And they're clearly not. And at which point they sort of get it. You know, it's like, oh, well, we need better leaders. We need more leaders. And that becomes a big issue. But it's a good discussion to have. With people, because they really do need to take a look at themselves and the way they approach leading the teams that they have.
Well, I think sometimes,
so,
I mean...
You know, as you describe that with Jill, I think you're describing a lot of situations.
Yeah, well, I also, I think even though, you know, manufacturing, of course, we have knuckleheads on TV now that say it really doesn't matter what the manufacturing sector, the producing sector does, because consumers will take care of the rest. Well, at the end of the day, Kevin, I mean the wealth of the country is in what people have and own. I mean, you can own a house and it has value. You can't own, you know, a tray of McDonald's that you didn't sell and have to go in the garbage in 5 minutes, right? I mean, obviously you have to eat, but at the end of the day, there needs to be things that you build that make something. I don't know how I can put this, but there's some guys, and not just guys, women, that when you work on a building, you work on a railroad car, you work on something, and 30 years later, the thing is still running as proof you did a good job, or the building's still standing. There's something to be said for that. I don't know. I don't want to overplay it, but there's clearly something.
Oh, no, I totally get it, Tom. I'll tell you a story after you get done making your point.
I'm saying Audrey's dad, who I keep forgetting, which I shouldn't have, but I think he made it to 98 in full mind, you know, and finally had, you know, some issues and didn't make it. I thought he'd make it to 100 for sure. Once in a while, we'd go for a ride downtown, and he'd say, you see that building, the Hancock? He said, all the beams in that place were fabricated in our plant, and all the holes were drilled. I drilled half of them. That place is never coming down because they were all drilled properly. And he was just drive by the place. He was happier than a clam. Look at how nice that building looks. And I was part of it.
Well, I had a situation where when I worked for American National Bank in downtown Chicago, and back in my computer programming days, we wrote their online balance reporting and transaction reporting system for the cash management customers. So, you know, when you go back to those days, the delivery mechanism wasn't a personal computer because we didn't have them. The delivery mechanism instead was a you get these little Texas Instruments thermal printers with your printers that printed on thermal roll, and then you had to go through a lot of gyrations to really securely have them identify themselves and then start running the printer to get their daily cash position reports. So fast forward from the late 1970s when I created that to the mid-1990s when I was in charge of operations and IT at a bank in St. Joseph, Michigan. And we bought into Northwest Indiana, so all the Chicago banks were calling on me to try and get our check clearing business in the 7th District, because otherwise, you know, all our Michigan stuff went through Detroit. And the guy from American National comes in, because by then they had been bought by First Chicago, but were still operating independently. And he came in, and he walked in, and he brought me their brochure. And as I was flipping through the brochure and looking at some of the daily reports that you can now get on your personal computer, I looked at the format, you know, and exactly how the sections were separated and all that. And I said, man, that's my code. It's still running. It was great.
Yeah.
One of the proudest moments of my life was of my otherwise sorry life was I could look there, and 15 years later, my code was running, and it had just been adapted for the way the world worked.
Well, we kind of started this conversation where I'm trying to prove to people I can be a half full kind of guy, but. Yesterday, as the market, you know, rallied up, which is fine, obviously. And I've got people in the XLF, which is the financial system, and it had a big day yesterday for it. It was up like 55, 60 cents. So that's a good thing. But all these bank earnings are coming out good, Kevin. And all these, you know, United Health and these people are coming out really good. And I don't think, here's where I'm coming from. I don't think the economy is growing anywhere near certainly at the median level, what these people keep telling you. You know, they keep blowing so much smoke up your behind, I can't even. But, and I really do believe we're at a situation now, and one of the reasons why I think people are fighting with themselves, politically and otherwise, is that every single time, and you can see it at the Democratic debates, you can see it at, even in some of the Republican stuff, every time somebody does real well, everybody secretly believes that somehow they're taking advantage of other people. It's not like we're growing 4% and the person who's growing 3.5% realizes he just didn't work as much overtime as the guy who's up 4.5% on the year, and he could have got there if he wanted to, he just didn't want to. Or took 3 weeks vacation, the other guy took two, whatever. I mean, you really get this feeling. And it's almost like if you walking down the sidewalk and a snake runs in front of you, you're gonna jump back. And afterward, you're going to say it's only a garter snake, but only after you jump back, right? Because that's just your instinct. Am I correct or not? I mean, it just is.
Yeah, I hear what you're going on.
And when I see the banks making money, and I'm seeing United Healthcare and the healthcare companies making money, I just get the feeling they're doing it on the backs of other people, and it's not legit. And I'm certainly not a socialist, but it's not right. mean, I don't think that with interest rates the way they are, giving banks money, I don't think I'm going to say, Kevin, that, you know, you and I are in areas where there's still banks, and you can go to Lakeside and you go to a few other places and still probably get, you know, 0.25%, 0.5% on your checking account or something like that, or get it free. But the big banks, I'm going to say countrywide, I'm going to say 50-60% of the people have less than 5% in their checking account, and they're probably paying a fee. And you know what? It's just not right. If that's how the, they're going to, you know, glad hand on TV how they made money by you know, charging people to keep their money there and stuff, or the ridiculous insurance companies charging even more. Matter of fact, I went through yesterday and did some math, which I should never friggin' do. I went to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You can get the CPI stuff right. And if you dig deep enough, Kevin, they'll let you know what the CPI of your boxer shorts are if you dig to the bottom of the darn thing. I mean, the attention to detail is so dramatic, and that when you put it all together, it's all BS. So on the top page, they've got the medical stuff. They got it at like, they're up to like 7%. When I first started doing this a few years ago on the show, they were like 5.5. So they're creeping up a tad. And if you were to add, there's another spot on another line that has like medical products or something, they're like 1%. So if you add those to it, yeah, you're pushing 7.5, 8. So it's not as big a story as it was when I first started talking about it 4 years ago, and it was like 5.5. But still, even with their stupid way of looking at it, if you look at the last year, the CPI is up 1.7% in their mind. Okay, this is the last calendar year from August to August. Not calendar year, the last year from August to August.
Fiscal year.
Yeah. So the medical care is 4.4. So if you just take the difference, the math difference between if that 7.5% was really 20%, like it is in the rest of the economy, you know, if you say how much of the economy is medical care, the answer is 20% or 19.9 or something. So if you were to just take the 4.4%, give it another boost of 12.5%, it adds a full 0.5% to the CPI. So the CPI would actually be 2.3, which is higher than the Fed's goal. And even though now they're pouring $60 billion a month in under the lame excuse that they need to get the inflation rate up to 2. Well, if you make one minor common sense adjustment, you're already over 2. Even with their dumb numbers. Because when I say dumb numbers, I'm not trying to call any individual people dumb. But collectively, people can be very dumb. I've been on boards where collectively we did some really horrible stuff. You know, I've seen collective groups of people make, what do they say, Kevin?
It's the groupthink phenomenon. You know, anybody who wants to know what I'm talking about should just go look up groupthink Bay of Pigs.
Well, what's the expression? A camel is a horse designed by committee?
Yeah.
You know, where I'm going with this is that if you take out your, well, first of all, there's no taxes in there, right? So property taxes in virtually every area, your property taxes really is the cost of education, correct? Because I'm going to say in virtually every area I know, Orland, Chicago, if you look at your tax bill, somewhere between 55 and 65% of it is the local schools, correct?
I would assume yes.
So your property tax bill really is the cost of primary and secondary education. Now, some people do other than that and go to private school or Catholic school or whatever. But I'm saying, that's nowhere in this calculation. All right. So, and most people will tell you in the last 10, 15 years, your taxes have damn near doubled just about everywhere, or up to 75% or something. Which is, you know, nowhere near what's in. Now, the cost of education over that is another, like, 6.5% in there. Anybody who's sending a kid to private school or college and thinks that's 6.5% of your budget, good luck with that. So there's two things they lie on totally, healthcare and that, and the fact that taxes are not in there. So you pull that out, Kevin. I mean, the numbers are useless, even though they're detailed down to, you know, your left sock, for God's sake.
Well, that wouldn't be an easy model or a difficult model to create if all the raw data is there, and and you just need to roll it up, and then all you do is you just start saying, you know, you attach percentages to each number, and you, you know, so now you plug in, you know, it says 6%, so you plug in 6%, and you see, you know, you validate it against the reported rate, and then you say, what if it's really 12%? And you go. That would be a really good project. That would be a really, really good project for one of my database classes.
Well, if you come across anybody, especially somebody in Chicago who's sending their kids to even Catholic grammar school, even in a bad neighborhood, which is not very expensive, it's certainly not like you're on the North Shore or someplace. If you ask that person, what are your three biggest concerns money-wise? Hospitalization, right? Taxes and education. And yet if you add those together in the CPI, I'm going to say you're talking, well, taxes aren't even in there, and the other two add up to 15%. So tell me how good those numbers are.
Well, then but then you go back and you say, well, if you know, I'm just buying what you said a little while ago, and that's that if you go down to the detail level, that the numbers are all there. So, you know, how good are the base numbers? They might be pretty good, and if they are, then that's an opportunity to go find out what the real equation, or at least to test different percentages and say, you know, if this is really, instead of 6%, it's really 20 of your spending basket, then, you know, to tweak it. And I don't think that's, as we talk through it, I'm amazed that there isn't somebody doing that and reporting it, not named Carl Denninger.
Yeah, I'm kind of stunned at how we've lived in like idiocy for kind of a while. But you know, I'd say
we're in this big data era where everybody knows how to crunch numbers. That it, you know, it's such a part of the business, and yet that's an area where we ignore it. You know, you want to be a star, Tom? let's hire a few database people and get cracking.
Well, I don't even know what year this was, Kevin. But I, always being the good son, every Saturday or Sunday, depending, I'd get in the truck and I'd go take my mom to breakfast, and it was always fun. I mean, everybody says what a good son. The fact is, I learned more from her. I was the one on the receiving end, not on the giving end. Even though I did buy every week. One week, though, she said, I'll buy this one. And I go, it's $8. You can't break a 20-year streak for $8. But if you're going to do that, let's go, like, grab a steak somewhere. Oh, if that's where you're going to be, you can pay. Okay. you know how they were. They were all kind of the same, our group's moms. You put them all in a room, and they were like they knew each other for life. But anyway, there were a lot of similarities there. But I used to listen to this stuff, and there's a guy on there. They used to have guys on Saturday morning, Kevin, that did sort of the same thing they do on Sunday, but it wasn't a national show. Well, they had two conversations I remember incredibly. Was it Arthur Schultz? He was the Secretary of Treasury under Reagan, and then he was Secretary of State. Too,
George Schultz.
George Schultz. Wasn't he Treasury and State? Bright guy.
I knew he was Secretary of State at one point. I don't remember if he was.
I think he was, because the conversation was, this is where I get my disbelief of Washington. I didn't just wake up one day and say these guys are all crooks. He says, when he became Secretary, the guy asked him, the announcer was some idiot like me, said, Chairman, or Mr. Secretary, when you come out with like a labor number or something, or whatever the numbers are, and everybody, you know, is anxious to see that number, he says, how many people see those numbers before? This is something like I could do on Stocks and Jacks. Ask a question you could never do on national TV, right? How many people see that before? He says, I understand, like, the president can't be walking out to his helicopter and you say, what do you think of the labor number, and him not know what you're talking about. I mean, there's got to be a few people that people are going to ask about it that should know a couple minutes before that you can, quote, trust. I'd trust Reagan to not trade ahead of that number more than I would Trump's kids. Just saying. But that's just me. But anyway, guess what the answer was? The guy says, I asked that question my first day in office, and I get this huge sheet of names, and I go, who are all these people? The guy's saying this on radio. He goes, who are all these people? Because they don't need to know. So I started pulling all these names off. He goes, that was the hardest thing I ever did politically, was to boot people off that list. And after about 2 months of trying, I gave up. This is 35 years ago, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and here it is. Here's Schultz's, just to answer the question we raised. He was Secretary of State under Reagan, and he was Secretary of Treasury under Nixon, and he was also Director of OMB under Nixon, and he was also Secretary of Labor under Nixon.
Yeah, he's about one of the most intelligent, I'm going to say well-qualified people we've ever seen in government, I would say. He was like a Jim Baker.
Where oh, yeah, and he had, you know, he was a business executive as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's an incredibly accomplished man.
The we have to have a break here before we do tell the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, we'll have to wait until after break. S&P futures down 6 now, NASDAQ futures down 18. We're down a little bit, but not much. We'll come back with some earnings. We've got Johnson & Johnson up again today, 166, even they were up yesterday. So the healthcare place is on fire, which I guess is good unless you're paying for it. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Blown over by Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Kevin O'Neill. She's AV on the board. SP Futures now down 7.25. And as they futures down 21.50, I think it's just a little bit of a pause. Before our last few days of rallies, I think this is I'm normally advice because I don't trade this stuff this early in myself, but I think I'd probably want to be a buyer here rather than something else. We'll see. It'll probably crash today after I said that. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 36.3%, FTSE down 8.1%, CAC around up 2%. Call that flat. So quiet in Europe. Nikkei up again today, 265, 1.2%. Shanghai down 12.4%. Hang Seng up 60.6%. Bonds 1.74. The Bund minus 0.41. Again, it sounds awful to the negative, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was at 0.79 a few weeks ago. Japan minus 0.15. Oil up 23 cents, 53.04. Brent 58.79. That's up 5 cents, so quiet in the oil market. Gold down 20 cents, 14.83. This is the lowest gold's been in a while. I need a rally out of gold. I got some people in gold. Silver down 15 cents because we're going to roll our puts today, so we want it to bounce back. We'll see if it does. AV, what do you got for traffic, weather, sports?
Good morning. 35 minutes past the hour, cloudy and very windy this morning. Currently 45, becoming partially cloudy this afternoon with the highest 52, lowest 41. Looks like the day will remain windy with no rain expected. And 65 degrees in Phoenix right now, mostly sunny and nice day. Might get cloudy in afternoon. The highest will be 97 and the lowest 72. In traffic, we have one crash reported on the left shoulder on Stevenson going south before Harlem Avenue. That is causing significant delays. And that's it for traffic situation right now. Expect some higher traffic volume later, I would say. And for the scores, don't have that much, right, Chief?
Oh, we said the Cardinals lose and get swept. They're out in four. They're out. Houston took a 2-1 lead over the Yankees. That's pretty much the sports.
Yeah, and for yesterday in MLB, I have only Astros that won Yankees 2-1.
That's what I just said.
Mm-hmm. See,
you're not much of a baseball girl, are you?
No, not really.
So, oh, you'll be one of these days. You'll grow on it. Manny wasn't much of a weather thing. He'd be like, and Thomas used to have accidents on North Avenue and Fortin. And I go, Thomas, they're parallel. You can't exactly do that. But everybody learns. You're doing fine. Anyway, Kevin, the other conversation that we started before, I of course set a sidebar like I always do. One of the guys who was on the Fed board, the Federal Reserve Board, in the roughly the same time Nixon was being impeached. All right, and because I don't know if I mentioned, if you heard the other day that I was on a show with Joan Esposito, and she asked me on specifically to talk about how the market behaved in other impeachment proceedings, and basically my conclusion was is you can't separate the proceeding, which is a big deal in Washington, from the other stuff in the economy, especially if the other stuff is big stuff. And in the Nixon impeachment, the market essentially went down a rat hole during that 14 months, but that was also the time of the Arab oil embargo and inflation going from like 2% to 11% in like 1 year. So I don't care if you were Solomon president at that time or being impeached or not, the market was going to go down a rat hole. And meanwhile, Clinton, in the long period of time it took for that to... It takes like a year for the stuff to work through, even though now we're on this hurry-up, hurry-up.
Now we're on the fast track.
Yeah, we're on the supposed fast track. It'll still take the same amount of time. Anyway, the market.
No, it won't, but we can talk about that in a minute.
Well, but the market might have been, was way down because we had the long-term capital problem and we had the Russian currency problem. They were sort of tied together. And all of a sudden, one day, the Fed bailed out long-term capital. This the singular pick of winnings, which they've always done, which drives me bananas. I know people on the trading floor that got hurt bad, but they told some people they were going to essentially lower rates during the day, and they did, and some people got long, and some people got caught. My dislike for these people is genuine, Kevin, honestly. And anyway, this guy was... So you couldn't really pull apart. The huge rally started. Plus, there was a place, was it G something something, geo.com or whatever, that hit, was like the first dot bomb that came out in one day at like $8 and traded that day at 90. So the dot bomb era ended, this was in 98, started right about during the impeachment proceedings. The market just took off. So in one case, you had it going in a rat hole because of bad external events, and the other one was going way up for spectacular external events, and you know the impeachment kind of got lost with the bathwater. I thought, now what happened?
So if I were to summarize what you're saying that the impeachment didn't matter a bit; it was all other.
Well, I don't know. I'm saying it was overwhelmed. It's like saying, did the little breakwater you put in help out when the wave was 30 feet and never been more than 3 feet before? Well, I guess it helped for 3 feet, right? I don't know. I'm saying it might have been negative, but with all the other stuff that was happening, it was just drowned out. I mean, it's like saying, the market's up 40 points today as Dr. J leaves the can. I mean, people always ask you why the market's up or down. And in fact, there's a million things going on, right? You try and pick the headlines, but you never really know. I mean, I think right now, no matter what the headlines are, as long as the Fed is pouring $3 billion a day in the system, the market's going to have trouble going down. Anyway, but what I was trying to get to what this guy was saying, and you're talking about fast track, right during the Nixon, they had been pouring money into the system really since the Vietnam War to try and pay for it, right? They were trying to essentially inflate the currency. We went off the gold standard. You had a short little guy, Milton Friedman, running around Washington. People, you guys are starting an inflationary bubble. Well, then the Arab oil thing hits. So everybody blames the entire amount of the inflation, basically, on the oil. Now, it was a shock, no doubt about that. But the entire amount, come on. I mean, as Milton Friedman and Claire Friedland, their line was, inflation is always and every time a monetary phenomenon. You can't just say one, but it's never even. At that time, it happened to be oil. So this guy, who was a Fed guy, says, well, first we decided we were going to ignore oil, right? Because that was an external shock. And then all of a sudden other stuff started to go up. We said, well, we're going to ignore food. Why would you ignore food, Kevin? Well, there's so much involved in the food manufacturing process and delivery process that is oil denominated. You're driving it, you're driving the tractors with oil. You're drying the, what do you call it? You're drying the grains with natural gas or oil. And oh, by the way, you're lugging it to the river with gasoline, and then you're putting in a barge. And so, food production is really oil, right? Which is, half BS, but partially true. So then you pull oil and food out. And finally, he said, after about 15 meetings like this, we walk in there and we'd all stare at each other and go, you know what? We got inflation. After we had been denied for like 2 years. So it's not like, these guys don't look at this and say, well, okay, maybe the MRI is only up 5% last year, but the guy's insurance bill's up 10. I don't know where the money's going. I mean, clearly when I saw the move up yesterday in United Healthcare, the thing that hits my mind is nothing good. I mean, I would have had United Healthcare. I guess I'd have been okay with it. But it's nothing good. It's, okay, when Kevin O'Neill pays his insurance, or the school pays it for you, they're up 10%. You can blow crap past my mind and say, well, even though you're paying 10% more, Mr. O'Neill, the actual cost of the hangnail surgery is only going up 2%. And you're like, I don't care. I'm paying 10% more. Where is it going? Well, it's going to an insurance company. Well, where's the insurance company? And the CPS thing, well, it's, or CPI thing, well, no, it's not there. Well, where is it? Well, that's like a service, or that's a whole, that's in the people. I'm saying it doesn't actually get down, Kevin, to what you are paying. Because I was looking at 1982 or something, the cost, it wasn't 82, was it 89? Whatever, the cost just went $20,000 for a company to put a healthcare package together for the O'Neill family. It just crossed 20 grand. And I'm going to say 12 years ago, it was seven. So, and I actually have a chart here somewhere buried. Kevin, nowhere is that in the numbers by any stretch.
Right. But the cost of actually delivering the services, in many cases,
allegedly,
that has not changed much. The marginal cost of the service for just the overhead.
Okay, but it's not, to me.
Which what I'm saying is how that gets justified. So I'm agreeing with you on this one. I mean, that's how this gets justified. But the payments mechanism has gotten more and more expensive, which means the cost of healthcare in general to the average person is substantially higher. Even if you can justify it by saying, well, the cost of an MRI has come down or the cost of an arthroscopic surgery has come down. But you know what? The cost of getting the insurance that pays for it has gone way up.
Well, it's come down as a cost to the insurance company, I think. It has not come down to you if you went there and just said, I need a scope, because I'm sure it probably hasn't because you don't have the network. And the cost of the president of the insurance company is skyrocketed.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I mean. So the cost of the service itself, if you're looking at it on the margins, down.
Well, but it's down to them.
Marginal cost on it.
Do you think it's down to you?
Now, if you want to do the fully loaded cost, that's totally different.
Well, hold that thought, Kevin. SP Futures now only down 475. Hey, I was right. We're actually moving up here for once. NASDAQ Futures down 17. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Here, right now.
Let's get it on. It's time to get down.
Well, Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. He's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. She's AV on the board. SP Futures now down 475. NASDAQ Futures down 17. Not very much, considering how much we've been up. Latest greatest tweet. Trump says economy would crash like during the Great Depression if Democrat clowns are elected. I seem to recall that when the Great Depression started with Republican clowns in office. Kevin, is that fair to say? Or I would not call Hoover a clown. I think Hoover's probably the smartest man that ever was in the office. It just happened.
Well, I would also say that based on last night's debate that the Democratic clowns is redundant.
Yeah, well, it's the debates are not so good. I would say that the person who's now in office excelled at that forum of nine people on the stage, which to me is insanity. And that's how he got in office, by insulting people and that he was with on the stage. And the same circus atmosphere is what put him there. He just happened to be pretty good at it.
Yep. Well, yeah, because what's reality TV? It's all the circus.
Yeah. I don't see how.
You know, we now have built a process that works out, you know, that is just totally aligned with success in the political process. Is the same thing that's success in reality television.
Well, and we would never get
brilliant job by the committee, you know, RNC and DNC.
So do you think there's any chance we would ever get a Lincoln, a Roosevelt in the Lincoln ugliest sin, Roosevelt in a wheelchair, even Hoover, who was a brilliant man. But what was the thing that I keep harping on a lot, Kevin, is exactly what was the problem in the 20s that led up to the Great Depression. I mean, I don't know if people know that that's my theme, but I've read extensively about that era. The 20s, the roaring 20s, really were a lot like today in the sense that some parts of society really were charging ahead, and you had the veneer that everybody was coming with you. And in fact, you've got you had the agrarian community was in a depression for 10 years. You had other kinds of areas that were already falling apart in 26, 27. So it was the lack of recognition of how uneven things were just made everybody else pour along with the Hoot Smalley tariffs. And what are we doing now? We're doing the same thing with tariffs. I mean, is this man ever read any of this history? I mean, everybody will blame that the imposition of tariffs is one of the things that made the Great Depression happen when it did, made it worse. What the hell? Are we following the same
thing? A question about that. Were the tariffs just done as protectionist policy?
Yes.
At the time? Because it seems to me that the difference would be, again, this is a for better or for worse. I'm not saying it's good because I'm not a fan of tariffs. But the tariffs this time are used as a negotiating tactic.
Allegedly.
Well,
allegedly.
Yeah, but, you know, I think if there ever is a deal struck, they'll go away, just like some of the new stuff that they were looking at with Mexico went away.
We just put them on with Europe.
Pardon?
We just put them on with Europe.
Yeah.
Well, where's the quid pro quo there? Because name me why we're putting the Irish.
Oh, you know, that's you talked about that last week. That's tied into the judgment on Airbus, and you know, that's all stupid stuff. But yeah, that is absolutely protectionist.
Well, the guy
that's what that's all.
This
about.
Is right up our alley. The guy who's actually made himself into the second biggest butter guy here is the guy. It's Irish butter. I didn't even know that. I mean, I just go and buy whatever's on the shelf. But evidently, behind Land O'Lakes now, the number one name brand in butter is these people from Ireland. Well, they just lobbed a big tariff on Irish butter. Explain to me, Lucy, what that has to do with the two conglomerates, Airbus and Boeing, how that poor guy should be being put out of business.
Well, it's a try to hit them where it hurts, you know. So, again, I understand it. I'm not defending it.
Yeah, so if I'm mad at you, I should go punch
but
him?
But it's saying, you know, yeah, you can go retaliatory tariff Airbus too, but that may not make as much a difference as it is going down a list of products.
All right, so wait a minute, let me get them straight. So if I'm mad at you, I should go punch Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you probably appreciate
By
that.
All means.
Tim is Kevin's brother, was my roommate. I happen to like Tim. I don't want to punch Tim, but what is,
I like him too, but I'd rather have you punch him than me.
Well, I don't get the, my point is that on the gross look at it, you say we have areas of the economy that are not growing as others, and there's always going to be a mismatch. It's not like it's, everything's always going to be even, but now we're putting tariffs on places that have nothing to do with Airbus. And if you were to ask anybody, I don't care, you could be a rock, and you were to say Airbus, Boeing, somebody's going to say there's two people left in the world that are a commercial airline, and each one is absolutely favored to the nines by their governments. And to try and figure out who's getting it worse or more, I don't know if I want to be part of that group, Kevin, because they're both getting everything they can get and everything we could possibly give them.
By the way, I flew on a Canadian jet a couple weeks ago.
A Bombardier?
Huh?
Was it a Bombardier jet?
No, that doesn't sound right. I don't remember the name. But
they're in a consortium.
To get my connection in Chicago, the South Bend to Chicago part of the trip was on a Canadian airline. Or not a Canadian airline, a Canadian Canadian main jet.
I think Bombardier...
something or other.
You know what? I think they got a consortium.
The model. So apparently there is actually a little bit of a alternative manufacturing. They're just not competing in the same size of airline or of airplane as Airbus and Boeing.
I think what happened, Kevin, and I shouldn't be blobbing this out there, I think the guys from Brazil and the guys from Bombardier got some kind of a consortium together for some new plane. And I think it's a... I'm going to say it seats 60 people, 70, two engines. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right, yeah.
It's pretty darn nice. The engines are up on the fuselage like the DC-9s were?
Yeah, it was a fine, fine airplane. But,
yeah.
It kind of struck me. I said I didn't know that there were Canadian...
Well, I think those guys...
aircraft that were Canadian.
I think most of that whole... 20 years ago, when you... I drove out to Vernal, Utah, of all places, to buy a truck. Well, I never even know this way it worked, Kevin. But you flew United Airlines out to Denver, and then you got on a bus and you went to another spot, and there was a big terminal for all the little places, like going to Aspen, going to Steamboat, going to Vernal. I mean, the hub and spoke coming out of Denver to all those little towns. There had to be, I'm going to say, 50 jets out, not jets. Really high-end props that held like 30 people, 40 people, and you found your one and hopped in, and I happened to go to Vernal, and somebody else going to Steamboat, somebody else, every place going. So Salt Lake City and Denver both have areas like that. I think all those planes now are these little jets instead of being a prop. Maybe not every one, but a lot of them have all gone to the jets.
So that's probably a little specialty type of aircraft that is made to be able to land in tight space, but still be a jet, not a prop.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the jets go 450 now, and those props were doing 3-something. I mean, so there's not that much difference, other than obviously a jet is cooler. I mean, if you and I fly into South Bend for a football game, we got to have a jet, even though we're only coming from Chicago, and the difference between a jet and a nice prop might be 5 minutes. Doesn't matter. We got to have a jet. Or else we can't land it there with all the other Gulfstream guys. We all know that. Now Russell, he just walked in. Russell would be the guy. He'd be the schlump that'd show up with the prop job when we were coming in our Gulfstreams.
No, I only take a helicopter.
Oh, helicopter!
Yeah, I was going to say he's the bohemian sort.
Yeah,
he's only the bit.
Oh. Show up in a private prop plane instead of a private jet.
Yeah. But I mean, you would never. I remember the Southern Cal game with the one Gulfstream one after another. I said, what if I showed up in a prop? They'd send me to some other little airport. They wouldn't
let me in there. They wouldn't let you park there.
Oh, absolutely not. Wouldn't let you park there.
there goes the neighborhood type.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Plus, I mean, the whole, isn't it like you can't even, a DC-3 can't land at O'Hare because they can't keep up with the pattern?
They can't keep the speed going.
They can't keep the speed. The guy behind
them
would be running right up there behind, basically.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
That's one of the most interesting part. Playing the Doral Country Club, at least when I did it, it was a long time ago. Not because I played it very well. All I did was one sand trap after another. But you're right on the landing pattern for Miami. And if anybody, you go to O'Hare or those kinds of places, and you see nothing but pretty much new planes. Are there, the only two places you can land this other crap is in Miami and what? In the Kennedy, right? where you'll see, like, somebody will show up in a 727 or a DC-3, and say, what is that thing coming down?
John Travolta's private plane.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you can...
He has a DC-3.
Oh, I mean, they still run. I mean, they're not pressurized. I guess that's why they last so long. But anyway, Kevin, on your end of the world, when you see the stuff going on with all the politics and everything, I'm saying I do believe that we are missing the boat. We are ignoring an awful lot of the societies, sort of like we did in the 20s. And we've got this idea that we just keep pouring money in and keeping the assets up, the right people will be okay. But I think there's a decay in the firmament, shall we say. And it bothers me that we're not looking at it. And with all the political stuff going on, doesn't look like we're ever going to look at it, does it?
Well, and see, I have seen over the last, I don't want to say 10 years because 2009 wasn't part of the growth, but maybe starting 2011 or probably more like 2012 to 13. A lot more growing middle class here.
We got to go in a second here, Kevin. I'm going to ask a question though. By the way, I absolutely agree with you in your area. There's no way I can debate. What I would ask you is if we were to do your area up, Joliet area up, Chicago area down in terms of transportation hubs.
I think that's probably a reasonable assessment.
I mean, do you think it's a net gain? I think it is a little bit.
Well, I don't know if it's a net gain or not. I think, you hear me refer to microeconomies all the time, but I think you have to look at it that way, and a lot of it has to do with state and local policies and state and local budgets and all of those kinds of things that come into play. And, states that are in dire financial straits can't very well implement policies that are going to help make things better, and I think that's one of the problems that you have, and why it's so uneven around the country.
Well, I also think that the idea that it's economically viable or good for you to put a plant out where nobody lives and hope people move to you, rather than put a plant where people do live and make it where it's already convenient for them. If it's economically better to do that, something's wrong.
And that would be, that's what I'm talking about, policy, that, if it's economically viable to put a plant out, far away from the urban areas, it's telling you that despite the number of people, that there isn't a great labor force in the area.
Well, that's true. Kevin, thank you very much. Buddy, talk to you on Friday. No Notre Dame game to talk about this week. SP Futures down 6.25.
But they beat Southern California last week, and that is not just good, it is holy.
Oh, yes. NASDAQ down 22. Be right back, Mr. Russell Rhodes.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen.
This is
Russell Roach. He's AV on the board. S&P Futures down 6. NASDAQ Futures down 22. I want to open up a new can of worms here, Russell.
Of course.
Because you're here as a professor.
Uh-huh.
I just happened to catch my eye last night that we had the story with Purdue Pharma was going to declare bankruptcy and give all this money to states and all this stuff. And now we're talking about the headlines are here. It's by CNBC.com staff. TAC drug distributors in talks to settle opioid litigation for $18 billion. State and local officials are reportedly in talks with major drug distributors on a potential $18 billion opioid settlement. McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, I've never heard of those guys.
I know AmerisourceBergen.
Well, that's why you're here. Yep. Cardinal Health collectively would pay $18 billion over 18 years is part of the deal. I'm going to ask the question, as my person whose mother smoked, even though she quit 12 years before she died, she ended up dying really of lung issues that had a lot to do with smoking. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, is how exactly all these people, be it either smoking in that settlement or the people that are all the hundreds of thousands of people that supposedly have a problem in the state of New Hampshire alone, or maybe it's not hundreds of thousands, but it's an awful lot of people, how the hell they benefit necessarily by the drug companies giving money to the states and local officials and having them get their greedy palms into it first, where the person who's actually, you know, in the CPD unit or croaking someplace, what does he get out of it? The whole idea of a settlement is these big settlements with state and local people. To me, I abhor that whole idea. Am I just being grumpy or what?
No, you're not just being grumpy. Because that's about as bad, maybe even worse than the lawyer that takes a third of one of those big settlements.
Yeah.
You know, although the lawyer at least did some work for it.
Well, I'm going to say that
the lawyer has to
go against.
Yeah, the lawyer did some work for it, and generally, you know, if they're Aaron Brockovich-ing it, they do a lot of legwork, and then they also, the thing can take 2 or 3 years.
Well, the idea,
and there's no certainty that they're going to get paid out as well. But the state and local governments, absolutely not. They don't. What do you think happens to that money? What's it going to go? Whatever Illinois gets out of it, what are they going to do? Throw it into the pension?
No, it'll go
down a black hole.
It'll be education on drugs. It'll be, you know, something to county hospital for people. I mean, there'll be some that works its way through.
It's just going to go for paying previous bills.
Well, the idea, though, that
I know what you're saying is the settlement should go to the people that got hurt.
But I'm saying going
to get to the people that got hurt at all.
But I'm saying if you read it, they're not idiots. The thing will read like they're helping people all over the place.
Oh, yeah. But, well, much like when you started running through that, I started thinking about the banks getting fined for things they did around the mortgage crisis. How much of that do you really think got back down to homeowners?
Oh, none.
Yeah.
Very little.
You know? Who are we going to sue for the student loan crisis? Because the government's the lender.
Well, that's...
You can't sue the government.
Well, then I have all kinds of people from the right-wing side that have no sympathy for any of those people that owe those loans. None whatsoever.
I don't, and I've got one of them.
And they have no sympathy for anybody who bought a house at 225 and 4 weeks later was worth 165. And
I do in that one.
Okay.
I think they're very different situations. I mean, you're talking about adults who made a, who supposedly made some sort of an informed decision. I think there's a personal responsibility issue that comes into play there. The student loan thing, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for people that take out student loans and then major in something that they're never going to make enough money to pay the loans back. And I really don't have, I have absolutely no sympathy for anybody that lives in the Chicago area that feels like they need to go out to California to go to school when anything that you want to get a degree in they go out to California to go to school and they end up with $100,000 in student debt when they could live at home and, you know, keep the costs under control and basically major in anything that you want to in the Chicago area and get there on the metro or the L or whatever.
You can't go to University of Illinois. There's 360,000 Asian people or Chinese people.
They're not that many down there.
But they're all over the place.
I know they're all over the place. So it's like that at a lot of different schools.
How come if we're fighting with China, we don't throw 360,000 people back home?
Because we're making money off of them.
Right. So
That's what we should put a tariff on. We should put a tariff on their. They should have to pay twice the tuition.
They already pay more.
No, they don't.
They pay full out of state.
Yeah, but they don't. You've said that a few times on here, and I'm pretty close to one program at a major state school that is heavily dominated by people from Asia, and they wanted to try and dilute the student body a little bit. They wanted to hike the tuition for people coming in from out of the country, and they weren't allowed to. They have to pay, like you said, they have to pay a full out of state thing. But you can't. Why not do some of that, especially?
Here's why
I think you ought to do that, and I'll tell you, I will never give a dime to where I went undergrad because I was like the 16th or 17th person in a row from my extended family to go to the same school. And when I was in graduate school, I wanted a graduate assistantship so I could get by, and I was outright told that they only give them to students that come in from outside of the country because they're more reliable and because they don't go away for spring break and they show up and they do all their work. And I said, well, great. When you guys call me up and ask for money after I graduate from here, I will tell you to call the folks over in China that you were giving the internship to. And I haven't given them a dime since. So maybe to make up for what you're not going to get from the people that are going to come get a degree and they go back to their country, you know, you're not going to get the alumni donations like the half mil a year you give to Notre Dame. Maybe to make up for that, because I do think that's part of the long-term fiscal plan for a university is make it a great experience. Get people, you know, in love with the school, and then a couple of years after they're out of school and starting to make some money, have them back and you know, hit them up in
full
the checkbook.
Full disclosure,
uh-huh.
I used to give money to the Notre Dame Club of Chicago.
Okay.
The Notre Dame Club of Chicago was the only one big enough to essentially tell the university to go pound sand. Because every other club just gives the money they make right to the university.
Uh-huh.
But Chicago did not. And what they would do is they would interview people from the Chicago area. And if after they got whatever the deal was they were getting from Notre Dame, which I don't like those deals at all anyway, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
If they still were 2,000-3,000 away from being able to go there, the Notre Dame Club of Chicago would make up the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we would try and get people from the Chicago area to go to Notre Dame. Because after all, everybody in the Notre Dame Club of Chicago is from the Chicago area.
Yeah.
So then the university would demanded the right that after the club gave somebody $4,000 a year, they would pull back $4,000. So, which left the kid in the same place, essentially.
Gotcha.
And once I heard that, I said, not only am I going to stop giving it to the Notre Dame Club of Chicago,
not gonna give
the guys down there will not see a dime from me unless it goes into the $5 to light a candle in the grotto or something, which I think it's still a holy place. I don't know. Maybe they've co-opted
it. It is. No, I did the tour with one of my kids less than a year ago. And
maybe
yes,
they co-opted that, too. I don't know. You know, maybe there's
apparently, that's where you go to ask people to marry you.
Is there a Coca-Cola or an Under Armour sign on the candles yet or not?
No, there was no sponsorship there. There was a little Nike swoosh on every single candle.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I would not be. Anyway, I get this feeling, Russell, and I need sober people around me. Not that I'm drunk, I'm not, but
I'm having iced coffee and you're having your third mimosa.
I'm having, I have a half decaf, half regular with a shot of Crown Royal in there. No.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Now what else would you put in there if it was what do they call it? Coffee Royal.
A Coffee Royal?
Is the, Italian.
A little bit of cream.
A little bit of, what's the weirdo stuff they put in there? The licorice liqueur?
Oh God!
Whatever, it's awful. God, it's awful.
Not one of those schnapps things.
It's what?
Bailey's.
No, not Bailey's.
Not Bailey's. I love it. She's we try to get her to chime in on business. We try to get her to chime in on the first time she's come in unprompted. It's all. I love it. We know what we need to talk.
Well,
to her
I got
to
start with something.
Yeah,
because I've gone down to weddings in Columbus, my Italian side. I've had to go pick this stuff up. It's that licorice liqueur.
It's not the peppermint schnapps stuff.
No. Anisette.
Yeah. Is that what it
awful.
Is?
That stuff's awful. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, knowing the people that listen to us, we probably have 42 tweets telling us all different ideas at this moment.
Well, when you go to a real Italian wedding and you're in the reception line, they give the guy a big cigar and they give the lady a shot of Anisette.
Okay.
Now, on what that does for the lady, I don't know. I know what the cigar does for the guy. Makes the whole place stick after a while. Anyway, every time we get into one of these debates here, it seems like there's so many people with so many different, I mean, even the stuff about, you know, arguing the stuff about Trump. I mean, you can't have a debate about the impeachment without wandering off into five different areas because everybody's finger, it seems like the federal government, the state governments, these people are so involved in the economy that you almost can't have any kind of discussion without following the money and seeing where the hell it's going.
Oh, no, I think you're absolutely correct, and it's become more... We got warned about this by Eisenhower,
yeah,
and we ignored him, you know?
Well, he ignored himself.
Well, no, I don't know if it was a... You know, I wasn't around back then, but I don't know if it was a late realization on his point as to who was really pulling the strings in the background or what, you know? But
he tried to
warn us on the way out the door. He really
by the way,
did.
I have a column when I used to write dollars and cents before I was on the air every day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a column. I will dig it out and I will send it to you. It had to do with Ike's speech. You know, you don't just get to the end of your tour playing golf every day like Ike did. And
I got nothing wrong with that either.
Okay, but then saying if ever there was a guy that had the stones and or should have had the stones and had the reputation that he could have fixed it. It was him. You don't just warn about it and go. It was like Arthur Levitt warning about payment for order flow and those kinds of things, then handing the keys of the NASDAQ to Bernie Madoff and retiring.
Here you go, Bernie.
Yeah, here you go. Let's put the fox in charge of the hen house. Beware of the fox and head off and get your retirement.
Madoff, Maya, just because you brought him up and just kind of a deviation here. My father-in-law used to own a discount brokerage firm that back in the day that got absorbed into Schwab probably 25, 30 years ago. But he and I will have discussions every once in a while about the business. And he's actually said that back in the day, they had to start recording their phones because Madoff's firm would back away from trade so much.
Yeah, wouldn't be a bit
surprised. Everybody in the industry kind of knew this. So let's put him in charge of the hen house.
I was again, this is not a pleasant time for me to relate. My mom, when she was sick and she had whatever the lung issues, I was a lot of times I was in CPD wards, or not wards, but whatever the pulmonary intensive care.
Yeah,
and one day I talked to the doctor and he was saying, well, this lady over here has mesothelioma. And Audrey had a real good friend of hers, and older lady, but Audrey knows everybody, I mean, of all different ages, because she does the real estate, and everybody likes her. So even me, once in a while, type of thing. Do you ever really like your significant other all the time?
Oh, to death.
Yeah.
Best friend, best confidant.
They're listening, aren't
gives
they?
Gives awesome advice all the time.
Yeah.
Does a great job of driving my kids from place to place, which is what she's probably doing right now.
You're never nervous with her driving your new car or anything like that. Just,
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
it's the other way around.
Well, anyway, so this, the guy's a pipe fitter.
Okay.
So, of course, he croaks mesothelioma because of the asbestos. And the wife would wash his clothes by hand, not in the same washing machine as like her stuff and the kids' stuff. Well, of course, she gets it too.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, the lady in the next bed from my mother, she's got mesothelioma. And I said to the doctor, if you don't mind my asking, me always being the Stocks and Jacks guy, I said, I'm going to say her bill coming out of here is going to be, $80,000. Well, yeah, probably or more.
Yeah.
All right, so she's over 65, correct? Well, yeah. Now, that's basically be paid by Medicare. Well, yeah. I said, do you know, or are there forms for you to fill out, or the hospital to fill out, that realizes that there's $90 bazillion settlement sitting there, money from Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and all these people, that this bill should be coming out of that settlement? At least partially, right?
You would think.
And he goes, oh, no. I said, you've never gotten any kind of directive from anybody anywhere, either as a hospital, because I know he's a big shot at the hospital, either as a hospital or a doctor, to partition out those people that have died from mesothelioma and actually charge against that fund instead of the general Medicare fund. Oh, no. Why would we do that? I'm like, I mean, it's, you just like, I mean, I got to believe that if I knew somebody, probably somebody I do know, don't even know, that the, how's that for a statement? That had a, okay. But I mean, even somebody like a Brett Favre, who had a surgery of some kind, and even if it was a period of a month, had a problem getting off, whatever oxycodone or whatever the drugs are. Even if they, beat feet off it for 4 months. I'm sure we know somebody like that we just don't know who they are, Russell, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And I just hope they're fine and whoever they are, and I don't never need to know. But the point is, tell me how this money is going to reach down to any cost they had with a special doctor, a special psychologist, anything like that. Unless they want to put themselves out for people and say, yes, I had a problem, and they probably don't want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me how this money ever gets down to them and says, here's $1,000 for the, at least $1,000 for the $10,000 you had to pay at the place you went, to get clean or whatever. I mean, how is this ever going to reach down to a person that actually has a problem?
It's not. And we know that.
I mean, you know what reminds me of is the stupid
not.
Settlement.
How do you fix that? And basically what happens is, I assume all these healthcare companies settle with all these other folks. This is more of a Kevin thing than me thing. But I assume they settle, and part of the deal is, and nobody else can sue you.
Well, yeah.
That we're putting this behind us. So we made $50 billion collectively, and we're going to pay back $18 billion over the next 18 years. I think that's what I heard.
Yeah.
So, and $1 billion 18 years down the road, it's really only about $500 million.
Well, so what is a billion this year going to do? If there's
going to pay, it's going to.
What's the total number of people involved? It's got to be, let's say, $5 million.
Okay.
Even if it's $2 million, what is that? $50 a person.
No, it's 500.
All right, $500 a person.
Yeah, I'm terrible with
this. What does that do?
You can get a pizza every Friday night, or twice a week on
Provided
Friday night.
Provided you only get
family.
One ingredient. You can't have two ingredients.
Yeah.
So you and your wife, you have to fight over pepperoni and sausage. You can't
get
both.
You know what? It could cover your Netflix and your Amazon Prime bills.
That's right.
There you go. So there, make you have a happier life.
I mean, this whole thing.
Sure couldn't cover your AT&T.
You know what this reminds me of, and I don't want to bring up a name, but I will.
Throw it out there.
The settlement, the could there be a bunch of collectively dumber people than National Football League people? Because they spend so much friggin' dough that if they're on strike for a week, they're broke, right? If they don't get the next. So they made this settlement with the league regarding the head trauma.
Uh-huh.
And everybody who's already sort of had it or thought they might be having it said that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of how much. And yet we had one of the most popular Chicago players ever, died a few years ago, and happened to be a friend of mine because he was on the trading floor, Doug Buffon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, didn't they exhume his body and send his brain out to be tested? And it turns out he had it pretty bad.
Yeah.
Explain to me exactly. I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to say how much money do you think the league compensated Doug's ex-wife for him having to retire from the score probably 5 or 6 years before he needed to, because
mm-hmm.
they still wanted him there, and allegedly he had to sit there for 2 hours scribbling down notes on yellow pad for a 5-minute thing on the air. That's how bad he was.
And,
I mean, so tell me how much of that compensation.
I severely doubt it ever got to. You know.
So who the hell signed that thing? I mean, when where's the dough?
The Players Association that was around at the time, and they weren't representing the guys that had already retired. That's what I assume.
Okay.
And the dough, I don't know. I guess it's in some sort of, you know, trust thing that pays money out to the current players. But again, it probably doesn't cover the real problem, but it makes the problem go away.
I got to believe if I'm these companies, especially how much you think they made about this stuff? So let me get this straight.
That's what I said. Was I'll bet you they made 3-4 times what they're going to have to turn around and pay out.
Contrast this to say, for instance, not that I'm being a something this morning.
You are a grumper this morning.
Say, for instance, you compared this to the cause and effect of, say, a Chicago parking ticket. All right, so I don't pay $2.
Yeah.
What's the fine, 75?
I guess, something like that.
Say 50.
They hook us up at Loyola for parking.
All right, so now all of a sudden, you've got, what do you think?
It's not $2 to park. It's like, before anybody told me that I could park in a garage for $8 all day, when I had to drive, I'd park on the street and use the app and refill. And to park on the street for 4 or 6 hours ended up running me about $20.
Well, you see, I'm being very specific here.
Okay.
I would hope that your students would also be rigorous. Okay.
They better be.
They better be. Or you'll
Flunk
their asses.
That's right.
So say, for instance, I pull up to the Lago. They have a cocktail with my attorney and my buddies and my architecture guys.
And only one because you're driving.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So I pull up. Now, I foolishly do not use my app, and I just walk into the Lago. Now, the maximum for 2 hours is $8, which is ridiculous for a meter.
It's on the street.
Okay, but they don't know if I was in there for 2 hours and didn't pay, in which case it would be $8, or a half hour and didn't pay, in which case it would be $2. So say I was only there for a half hour and really could have only paid $2. The fine's the same.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how long I'm there.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have been there 12 hours and the last guy got me. It's the same price as I'm there for 5 minutes and the first guy got me. So I'm just being charitable, saying, in their mind, I could not have paid the $2 and they're hitting me up for 50 or 75.
Right.
Now I'm going to say these companies over the last 20 years have made what factor over $1 billion a year, so we're getting three places. So $1 billion a year, it's $300 million a year. How much money do you think these people have made per year on these things in the last 20 years? I'll bet it dwarfs that by 10.
Oh God, a lot more than, yeah. A lot more than they paid for the right to all
so
of that.
The message to them God, would
yeah,
be.
And they are hard. Yeah. The reason I laugh is around Loyalist downtown campus, they'll get you in 3 minutes. I think there's one person that works about a 6-7 block area. And I see them slapping tickets on cars that have the blinkers going all the time. And so they're making a ton off of it.
Well, but I mean, so yeah. So and let's just tell people. Let's just run out on a. Let's get Trump. Let's tweet out. Mm-hmm. If you're the right people in the right industry and can afford the right lawyers, what you can do is kill people for 20 years and make X on it. And if you ever get caught, those people really aren't going to get much of the money, and you're fine collectively, along with the promise that nobody else can sue you, which I'm not sure is in this, but let's assume it is. Is really going to be one-tenth of what you made.
You wouldn't think that they would settle on something that leaves them open to future litigation, do you?
I don't know how you can totally shut that off, though.
Any good lawyer would not agree to such a thing.
Right. I mean, I don't know. We'll have Lou on Friday this week, but
yeah, that,
the question is, can somebody... I know the federal government probably can and say you can't sue the military or something or whatever, but mm-hmm. you have to go through a certain process. But I'm not sure that some individual someplace, especially maybe in a state or out of the country, can't still sue. Now, whether they'll tie you up for 5 years till you're dead, that's probably very possible.
Yeah. That's part of the game too.
Well, they did that for cigarettes forever, for like 20 years. S&P futures minus 4, NASDAQ futures minus 17. We are bouncing back a little bit. I'm Tom Howie, he's Russell Rhodes. She's AV on the board. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain?
Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Russell Rhodes. She is AV on the board. S&P futures down 450, NASDAQ futures down 19 and a quarter. We have the retail sales just came out. Minus 0.3%, expecting 0.2, but they revised August up to 0.6, so didn't get us exactly to the same place, but a little bit. And I'm going to say, Russell, after we do this, I'm going to give you my explanation as to why I think that that actually might be that way, which, of course, you know, other than you and me, you may not agree or may. It's yet another mess up in the statistics that our people do, and I don't think they're very good at it, shall we say. As soon as I get to my machine, because I just Leanne Koopman says there is one more leg higher for the bull market before it ends, but if Democrats get in, it's going to go down 25%, just like Trump said this morning.
Yeah.
Isn't that special?
I know.
Dow futures down 8. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 31.2%, FTSE down 1, call that flat. CAC around down 4, call that flat. So pretty dull in Europe over this morning. Nikkei up 265, 1.2%. Shanghai down 12.4%, Hang Seng up 160.6%. Bonds 1.74, minus 0.2 to 1.41. Japan now up to 0.15 only negative. They're creeping. Well, what if they go positive? Oil up 39 cents, 53.20. Brent up 27 cents, 59.01. We've got gold down 230, 1481. Come on, gold, I need a rally out of you by next week. Silver down 17.20. AV, what do you have for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Good morning. 7:35 in the morning in Chicago. Currently 45 degrees. Expect cloudy and very windy day with probably some gust possible. No rain expected, though, but if you live in Chicago, you should know that the weather is really unpredictable. And the highest of the day will be 52, lowest 41. In Phoenix, 65 degrees right now, mostly sunny and nice day. Might get cloudy in the afternoon. The highest will be 97, lowest 72. In traffic, we still have that left lane blocked due to the crash reported on Stevenson going south before Harlem Avenue. That is causing significant delays. Also, we got some new accidents occurred on Jefferson Street and Washington. Eisenhower going west at Ashland Avenue, and another one is on Kennedy West before Irwin Park Road. So expect some traffic delays up to 20 minutes. And overall, the traffic volume is getting busier, especially on the 90 West, 94, East and West, 290.
I turn back if I were you.
Yeah, looks just really busy.
Just go home.
Just work from home. Wait until we hit like February it's snowing and stuff, and it's 2.5 hours to the post office.
I don't know if I can wait.
I don't know. They're going to have to change the name of this thing too. You think they'll say it's 2.5 hours to the SIBO?
What did she? She's complaining on the way in, it's cold. What's she going to be like in January?
Oh, my God. Your accent, it sounds like you should think this is summer.
Well, this is very stereotypical, actually.
Okay. All right.
I live in Ukraine, and especially in South part by the Black Sea. Okay. And we have four pretty much normal seasons.
Okay.
In Chicago, the winter is so much longer. It's like nine months.
And it surprises you. It switches in about 3 days.
Exactly.
Yep. You're not ready for it. This is going to feel like summertime to you when we get up to the 50s in June.
Yeah, that's true. Just like this year.
So we've got with these retail sales, are you done or not?
She's done.
Well, yeah, that's what I got.
We're going to let you speak now.
Well, we've also got the Houston winning and we got the Cardinals out.
Out. Stop it.
The sweep.
I know. Maddie, we had a discussion off the air a while back, and Maddie said, well, I'm not impressed with the Cardinals at all. They'll get knocked out in the first round. They made it farther.
At one point, weren't the Nationals like 12-31 or something, or some ridiculous
Well, the Cardinals, you know what, a little over halfway through the season, the Cardinals were 44-44. And they just made a run to it. Both of those teams were, for lack of a better way to put it, on a roll going into the playoffs. So,
yeah.
You know, and if there's a real thing as far as being streaky and all that kind of stuff in baseball, or if there's momentum that takes you places in baseball, the Cardinals and I think everybody just thought the Dodgers were going to take the whole thing.
Oh, sure.
But you got to worry about playing a team that, you know, is everything seems to be going their way for the last
month, these pitchers
month and a half.
They have on Washington.
Yeah, that's,
so you got to be afraid of those guys. Short
absolutely.
Series.
Absolutely.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Rigorous. We look at these retail sales numbers, okay, which nobody seems to care about. They're minus 0.3. I'm going to say, I'm going to lob this one out there, that now when you talk to people, which you're never supposed to do, you're supposed to take your statistics, be in your limousine, have your briefcase, and never talk to a soul. That way you're a genius. You should be on the Fed. But if you actually talk to anybody, we don't want you there. So my guys, my sample group, of which there's, you know, different people in different walks of life. When the August numbers came out huge, and I asked some people, I said, by the way, your daughter's in what now? Sixth grade? Yeah. And another guy's, I got one, a daughter in sophomore in high school and blah, blah, blah. I said, the way things are going right now, with what kids need to do to go back to school. Matter of fact, one of the guys who's a contributor to the show, his son is going to a Catholic high school. Mm-hmm. And I won't say which one. Well, their names have changed recently, if anybody knows, if you know what I'm talking about.
It's not the one that my kid goes to then.
No. No, okay. It's up on the north side. Okay. And, all the kids have to wear, the males, I don't think it's co-ed. Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. Have to wear khaki pants, and for part of the year you wear a polo, and then you gotta wear something else.
Yeah.
But every article of clothing has to have the school insignias on it. And you can only buy them from L.L. Bean. L.L. Bean, who's the other guys? Wisconsin people. The Sears had and don't have.
Land's End.
Land's End.
Yeah. We're the same thing.
All right, so you got a long list of stuff you have to buy. So I asked all these creatures. I said, if I had to ask, would you now say you spent more on back-to-school stuff? Because some people have to have computers and laptops and all that. Would you say you spend more on back-to-school stuff now for these individuals than you do on Christmas? And every one of them said, there's no comparison.
I don't know. We're really...
Well, the kid was a freshman.
My kids are spoiled.
But I'm saying the kid was a freshman, so they had to go buy all this stuff new. Now, next year, if it still fits, maybe you don't have to go buy... You know, they bought 10 pairs of khakis, right? You know, or 8 or whatever, because you wear khakis every day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying, so what?
Well, we had to buy an iPad.
Okay, right. So, well, if you
for the school books.
Well, if you're going to public school, you don't.
Yeah,
because that's whatever
they give it to you.
Yeah, they give it to you. But if you go to the other schools, I think you do. So my point being is, I don't know now. It does not surprise me, based on my little survey, that there's a bulge in August and a comeback in September.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what these people told me, that August has now almost become a December month.
Yeah, but there's a seasonal adjustment that goes along
with it. Yeah, but I'm saying, how good is it?
Yeah.
Who does it?
I wouldn't take a slow 1 month for retail sales to mean an awful lot, especially when the August revision was higher.
Yeah,
I think the August revision being higher and the stronger August goes right along with what you're talking about. That a certain portion of kids going back to school every year that there is probably a very nice price tag to prepping them and getting them back to school.
All right, so
you know, so and so needs a new laptop, all that kind of stuff.
All right, so 0.6 to the good, minus 0.3 to the bad this month, gives you 0.3 divided by 2 is 1.5, which is the doldrums we've been in forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to say that the inflation is at least 1.5%. So I'm going to say that the entire growth is in price increases right now.
Okay. And I can see that. Yeah, I can totally see that.
Which means there's no growth.
Right. Unit-wise, there ain't nothing going on.
Right.
Yeah.
As much as we...
No, everybody already knows the economy's slowing down.
No, not your politicians.
Well, of course not, because when was the last time you went to Washington, D.C.?
It's been a while.
The roads are smooth. Everything is just beautiful. They not only do they live like in a don't really know what's going on with the real people bubble, but the city is just like immaculate, and I assume it's going to get even better as Amazon moves there.
The last time I went, it was a July or August day, which is so special in Washington.
Uh-huh.
And it was overcast, but still like 94. The humidity had to be 90-something. So I took the subway, or whatever it was, down to the mall. And I got up and I walked all the monuments in one day, which is, you know.
How much weight did you lose? Not that you need to or anything.
I could stand to lose an ounce or two, but I had to stop for a bottle of water probably four times.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it's a long trek. And I got to the bag, and my intention was, this took maybe 3-4 hours, because I went in and read all the stuff with the Lincoln Memorial and everything. It's a hike from Washington to Lincoln.
It is. It doesn't look it on TV. But,
well, then there's even more of a hike from Lincoln to Jefferson, and then you pass through Roosevelt on the way. It's got to be 2 miles.
Easily.
And so, anyway, I make it back, and I'm thinking, I was going to go into the Space Museum, and all these people were in line, all kind of dressed up fresh, and I'm looking at my shirt, totally sweated through, and I go, these people don't deserve this. I'm getting back on the subway and going by a hotel and showered up. I mean, I felt like I just ran like 20 miles. Mm. I mean, literally, you needed somebody in front of you to break the air. It was that thick. You know, you ever feel a day like that? I mean, the place is in a swamp, right?
Yeah.
And then they drain a swamp to build a place?
Pretty much. And the person that owned the property that they used to build Washington, D.C. was extremely well-connected.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So we talked about him in my class last night.
It never changes.
That's the only reason
it?
I know that.
It never changes.
Although, you're going to love this, although his name was Robert Morris, and shortly after, he shot down the job of Secretary of the Treasury, so Hamilton got it. And because he wanted to go back into private business, and he owned more land than there is in the state of New Jersey at the time, but he owned it on leverage, and he eventually went bankrupt. Sounds a lot like our current president, doesn't it?
How much do you know of? You got to find me. You got to find me.
What?
Somewhere buried in your university, there's got to be a tax guy.
There might be.
I want to know how the differences in the real estate, and I know in this business, because I've been here so long, if you throw $1 million in an account and you blow through $8 million, say of somebody else's dough, you can only take off the at-risk money. You can't deduct $8. You can only deduct the $1.
Mm-hmm.
I think somehow in real estate, you get to deduct the whole amount.
I think there are all kinds of fun and screwy things that you can do in the real estate area, and that's why our current president doesn't want to share his taxes.
I think
It'll out some things that as we were talking off the air about the Great Unwashed, and that all of us Great Unwashed folks don't realize you can get away with in the real estate area. Another part of it is I have a funny feeling that you'll find that he had a whole bunch of money stashed away somewhere when he declared bankruptcy once or twice and stiffed a bunch of people. I think that'll come out, and that's what he's worried about.
In deference to our POTUS, I don't think he ever, matter of fact, I'm going to say I know, he never declared personal bankruptcy.
It was his company's, yeah. Right.
But I think what happens is...
I think you'll be able to back into they really didn't need to declare bankruptcy. They were doing it to avoid paying some bills.
Well, that's his shtick. But
I know.
But I somehow or another, I think you can come out of there saying, you know, Donald Trump lost $1 billion on this partnership, when in fact he might have had a $500,000 up.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any other industry, but I don't want to lob that out there as a factoid.
No, it's not a fact, but
there's some way you can come out with a bigger tax loss than you were at risk in real estate, which you really can't do any other place. And I don't know the details of it.
I think a lot of people, in a very simplistic way, think that the reason he doesn't want to share his taxes is because it'll show that he doesn't really have any money or whatever. I actually think it's because there are other things in there that he just doesn't really want.
Well, but if you make
money in real estate,
but even if you're making $500,000 a year, mm-hmm. somehow or another, you got some tax write off from 8 years ago of like, you know, $500,000. You're living pretty good.
Yeah.
Even at the $500,000 with no taxes.
Yeah.
I mean,
it helps.
But you know, but all this. How does somebody in the history? You just mentioned the guy who had. I went through this thing, I'm curious like you, that's why I love having you on. There was a thing about the richest men in there were no women in there, but the richest men in U.S. history, mm-hmm. the top 25, but it had to do with the time they lived, and they judged their net worth based on percentage of GDP.
Okay.
Or either that or percentage of the federal budget, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I out of the 25 people, I don't think I recognize 14 of them, 15 of them.
Oh yeah, there's some. I watched a YouTube video on this recently where they went through the richest person in the world during each century.
Yeah,
and I hadn't heard of half of them.
Well, a lot of the guys were in a couple guys were in ferries before the bridges were built.
Mm-hmm.
About 3-4 guys were in furs, but a couple guys had. Massive, and they were Dutch dudes, because obviously New York was originally a Dutch county.
Mm-hmm.
They owned huge hunks of land in Manhattan. How did you gain ownership in like 1760 of property? Who'd you even get it from? Did
king.
You buy it? You bought it from the king, but that,
no, I don't think you bought it from the king.
Or he gave it to you?
Yeah, I think that there were probably a lot of land grants, and then some, you know, I have always envisioned this, and this is again me. Assuming a lot, you know, when the Soviet Union broke apart and they gave a part of the factory or part ownership of the factory to, you know, everybody that worked in the factory, and then one guy bought up all their shares and ended up turning into a real rich guy. I have a funny feeling that a lot of people that moved to the United States from England probably had a promise of some sort of land somewhere to get themselves going.
Yeah, maybe.
And then, like, my buddy Robert Morris ran around and bought it all up from those guys when they were found out that the land they'd gotten from the king had a bunch of rocks in it and they couldn't
right.
farm anything or things along those lines.
But some of the stuff, you know, and I'm not obviously no lawyer, some of the stuff, Russell, to me seems, especially when government is involved and people, I use the term steal as money, You know that where's the what's the fracking area in Texas? Is that the one up in Dakota is the Bartlett, and the one what's the one down in Peruvian or what?
The Peruvian basis.
Yeah, down in. Like you know who owns that property?
Who?
The
United States government. Us.
We should, but we don't.
Yeah.
Most of it was given to a railroad back in the 1890s or something. Because for those that don't know, when a railroad wanted to build a railroad, the government would say, yes, we need one there. By the way, here's, you know, 20 miles on each side of the track that you can sell mm-hmm. for money to... Well, this one, not the whole basin, but right in the best part of it, there was a railroad, an alleged railroad. I think it was Fort Worth and Western. And they were going to go from Fort Worth to, I think, California, but at least, you know, as far as New Mexico, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think they, I'm thinking they did 2 miles and said, screw it. Now, you would think that hopefully if you and I passed that bill and said, by the way, 5 years from now, we're going to look at this thing, and you've gone 45 feet, you're giving us the land back, right?
Yeah.
No such caveat. So, of course, the thing sits there as a dormant corporation. It's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, West Texas is not exactly land anybody wants, but still, it wasn't theirs.
Yeah.
You know, and you see a bunch of jackrabbits and one of the armadillos running around. And, you know, I mean, and all of a sudden, now there's oil there. So, allegedly, mm-hmm. like 10-20% of the oil is owned by the people who now have shares in this defunct company. Now, mm-hmm. Do they bear any resemblance to the people who first had it? Or did somebody find oil there and walk around and say, hey, Russell, your great-grandmother's got this stack, and you go, yeah, it's worthless. How about if I give you 20 cents a share?
I'll give you,
And then you go, okay, now it's worth God knows what. Yeah. I mean, does this stuff happen all over the place, or we just hear about it now? Do we have people writing into us and saying all these different? I mean, this is crazy stuff.
It is. There's an awful lot about being at the right place at the right time and those sorts of things.
But how much obligation, because you educate our youth.
I try to.
How much obligation when you say Trump or some, I won't say buffoon like that, blurts out Cooperman, the stock market will go down 25%. Mm-hmm. Don't you have an obligation to at least know the history of stock markets versus parties in office? Wouldn't it be the first thing you want to look up if you're just a right winger or a left winger dying for some juice for the day to fling back and forth at each other? You're good to go.
Out the other side of it, yeah.
But I would have the curiosity to wait a minute before I even talk about that on the air. I probably should go look and see what the real numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
Back to when did the Dow start? 1890 or something?
Yeah.
And I will ask you because I bet you know this. There's only been 3 presidential terms ever that have seen the market down after, actually 4. 4. And which party?
After the switchover? And I know the Democrats always do better than the...
No, it's actually very close.
It's very... Well...
With the Democrats, slightly better. Yeah. Slightly. But no, you wouldn't... Well... You would never bet on it.
I think if you take the 20s and 30s out of it
Why changes. Would you take it out of it? What are you...
I'm just saying, you know, that I think that had an awful lot to do with it. That somebody was able to get in at the bottom. That's all.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, though, is that... It's actually fairly close.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you would never open up your pie hole and say Democrats are better, Republicans better. But out of the 4, can you name the 4 who actually had down markets in there? You should be able to do this. I bet you can.
Ford?
No.
Really?
You didn't have a 4-year term.
Oh, I thought, okay, well, I just thought it
during
was...
During a 4-year term.
During a 4-year, well, I...
So, by the way, you're right on, because that was the term. That the Nixon second term was one of them.
Okay. Yeah, Nixon was going to be my second.
So I'm going to give you a ding, ding, ding if we were on TV.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well,
let's say you got a winner there.
I assume Hoover.
No, I'd have to go to the judges. Judges, do we have a winner?
Uh-huh.
And I'd say
assume Hoover.
Okay, ding, 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 ding.
Okay, I got 2 of them?
Yep.
Wow. During a 4-year term.
The other one you should get. The other 2 you should get.
Are they related?
They weren't brother and sister.
But were they father and son?
No, no.
Okay, was one of them a father or son?
No.
Neither of the Bushes?
Oh, yeah. The Bush, too, was one of them.
The second Bush. Yeah,
second Bush.
I guess that. I just wasn't 100% sure because, you know, the reason the first Bush didn't get reelected had to do with the economy.
The fourth one you should get if you thought about it.
Oh, my God. If I thought about it.
Long. I know you're thinking about it.
I'm trying to think about it. I'm just going backwards.
I'll give you a clue and say he was in for 4 terms.
Roosevelt?
The second term.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess that would make sense because we had a double dip recession.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got 2 minutes. I gotta send out my request for help.
Okay. Well, what do you need me for?
What?
What do you need me for?
What do I need you for?
Well, you mean like wire your kitchen or what? What are you looking for?
I told you during the break.
All right.
I have not bought Bears tickets in like a decade. I got somebody coming in town. I got to buy 4 this weekend. And it's all newfangled internet stuff. So
do they give you real tickets?
No. No. Oh, right. And yeah, you go on the Craigslist and it's like, oh, you send me the money, I'll email you the link. I'm like, I'm gonna send $600 to. And actually I saw where somebody on Craigslist said, don't buy tickets from this guy, it's a scam. And they give his address and in the middle of the address it says trailer number 47.
Oh God.
Like that's not a red flag. Sorry, but that's not a red flag.
I actually
Crystal Lake, Illinois. You know,
I actually saw my cousin's tickets once around. I'd always meet somebody like in a Starbucks line on a Sunday morning or something.
I'm really good about buying plane tickets. I know about how long before the trip's the best time to get in there. I keep waiting. My sister, who's coming up shortly, she's on me. She's going, "Do you have tickets? Do you have tickets?"
Your sister's not
going
to go for this.
They keep going down in price.
Your sister's not going to go for this, but if the weather's halfway crummy, just go to the game. You'll get them there. But she's not going to go for that.
No, she will not go that. She's been on me since, July.
I will give you Shannon's number.
And I'll tell you that I've because, you know, I'm paying for them. They've come down in price about 75% since she's been asking me, "Have you gotten them yet?" I should just lie about it.
You know,
it.
The guys over in the Board of Trade building aren't bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly. I know. I might wait till Thursday, Friday for that.
Because
it's more about a timing
thing.
Yeah,
but you also want good ones. You don't want the greater washed.
I know where I want to sit. I want to sit in the United Club.
Yeah, oh yeah, not with the great unwashed. You want to sit with the cool guys.
And it's my my youngest daughter who knows all the rules of football and watches it on the weekends with me.
Oh god,
it will be her first ever football game.
Oh, she'll love it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I would think a guy like you would be in a skybox.
On that note,
SP futures down $6. SP futures down 22. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn? I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.